In the absence of life and vice versa. therefore na mrutyuhu na amrutam. So you cannot describe sleep, is it life or is it death, something like that. It is neither death nor life. Then ratriya anna asit prakasah, that truth, the reality, is it day or is it night? Neither. Like sun, you see, very simply we forget that there is no daylight, day and night division. If you leave the earth behind you, only when you stand on the earth and related to the sun, you have these opposites of day and night. Suppose you are not standing on the earth, you go above the earth. You see, there is an atmosphere around the earth which rotates along with the earth. And therefore, if you are in the atmosphere, you are on earth only. You are not free from earth's gravitational field. Otherwise, what you can do is wrong. Suppose you have to go to New York. You jump up, the earth will go a little behind you, and you will go 100 yards before and jump one more time. So you go on jumping and stay in the air for a longer time, and you will go to New York. Suppose you sit in a balloon and you will go to London. So that doesn't happen like that, because as the earth is rotating, the atmosphere is also rotating. So you have to leave the earth, means you have to leave the atmosphere also. Then you are not rotating with the earth anymore. Then there is no day and night for you. You are above, day and beyond day and night. So the day and night opposites are relevant only for a person who is rotating along with the earth. Similarly, the life and death opposites, all these opposites are there for us only when we are moving along with the mind. The mind is moving. The mind moves between opposites all the time. It is the pastime of the mind to divide and oppose. So suppose seeing is there, seeing. Mind divides that seeing into the seer and the seen, pair of opposites. Seer is mithya, seen is also mithya, seeing is the only truth. But mind divides the truth into the pair of opposites. Therefore, as long as you are moving with the mind, you are stuck in the opposites. So now the idea of the way to reach the truth is to rise above all these opposites. Therefore, there was no day, there was no night. How day and night are formed? There is always the sun which makes the day, and there is the moon which makes the night. So Aketaha is the beacon. So day is made possible by the beacon of the day, that is the sun, Prakayataha. Then night is made possible by the beacon of the night, which is the moon. That is how generally it is taken, you know. Therefore, at that time, before creation, in Brahman, so Ratriyaha Prakayataha, the beacon of the night, was not there. Asit is there, that na you have to put. Na comes from the earlier sentence. Then Annaha Praketaha, so the beacon of day, namely the sun, is also not there. Did you pay attention to this? There is nothing like daylight. There is only light. But when light is experienced by us while standing on the earth, we experience it as daylight. So there is light. Light is known to us as daylight because we are caught in the day-night pair of opposites. Similarly, the Atma is experienced as Jagrat. It is like sunlight is experienced as daylight. The Atma Chaitanyam is experienced as Jagrat Chetana, the waking consciousness. Waking consciousness, you see, waking consciousness is the source of all knowledge. It is the waking consciousness which upholds your entire knowledge or wisdom, whatever you call it. And waking consciousness itself is not the truth. The origin of waking consciousness is the truth. It is like all objects are seen in sunlight, in daylight. But daylight is not the truth. Daylight, the origin of the daylight is the truth. That is the sunlight. which is the sun. So that is how you have to work out. Suppose I tell you, suppose you experience the friend 4 division. This is the friend, that is the 4. Now that division itself is false, it is unreal. Then what is real? The waking consciousness in which you experience that division is the truth, right? It is like on the movie screen, you see the hero and villain, both are false. Only the light that falls on the movie screen is real. Both the villain, hero, they are projections, they are false. Similarly, front 4 division is false. The waking consciousness in which such a division is known, that waking consciousness is the truth. Even that is not the truth. That is in, that itself is upadhika. When the pure Atma Chaitanyam, as it reflects in the mind, appears as the waking consciousness. Therefore, that waking consciousness, its origin is the truth. So you have to integrate it backwards like that. Then that reality, which is none of these opposites, now, is it alive or is it dead? It is neither alive nor dead. Very interesting. You cannot describe it as alive and you cannot describe it as dead. Then what is it? It is not anything. That's why silence. That's why words fail. Because now you tell how it is. It is neither alive nor dead. You describe it. I will challenge you. How are you going to describe it? So is it lifeless? No, it is not lifeless. Oh, was it inhaling and exhaling? No, it was not inhaling and it is not exhaling. But at the same time, if it is not inhaling and exhaling, if it is having the process of respiration, if it is not respirating, it must be lifeless. No, it is not lifeless. Is it respirating? No. So, here it is a very interesting description. Anit avatam. It breathed, but it breathed without wind. Avatam anit. Generally we all breathe with wind, but it breathed without wind because there was no wind. There was no wind. Wind is a product of creation. Creation itself is an apparition that you should not forget. So anit avatam. Then how did it breathe? When wind is not there, breathing is not possible. So swadhaya, by its own power. It is like asking, where is the entire universe? All these galaxies, stars, earth, all objects, where are they? In space. Where is the space located? Space is not located anywhere else. Then where is it? It is in itself. It is in its own glory. Sve mahimni pratishthitaha. So that way everything is having its being in Ishvara. Now Ishvara has his being where? In himself. Everything shines by the light of Atma Chaitanya. Then Atma Chaitanya shines by which light? By its own light. Everything is located in space. Space itself is in its own glory. Everything breathes in wind or with wind or by wind, whereas this Paramatma, which is before creation, was breathing without wind by its own power. So its own glory, its own light, its own being, its own power. Okay, so swadhaya, because there is no other. Tad ekam, that was one without the second. There was no other. If there is the other, then you can describe it is breathing with the wind, etc. There is no other. Every description is by a word. You use a word to describe. Without word, how can you describe? The moment you have used a word, any word you use, any positive, meaningful word you use, you have already limited the thing. without limiting, you cannot describe with a word. The moment you use the word, you have limited it. The word is, it truncates the reality. It limits the reality. Definition, by its very nature, limits the defined. Without limiting, there can be no definition. By nature, definition limits the defined. And if the defined is to be limitless, then you don't define it. That's why you don't have nirvachanam. It is anirvachaniya. Nirvachanam is the definition. Definition defines it by limiting it. Without limiting it, it cannot define. That's why it is anirvachaniya. So, tasmat ha anyam paraha kincha na asa. Other than that, other, tasmat anyam. Ha means it goes to the verb asaha, it was not there. So tasmat anyam, other than that, kincha, whatever, paraha, the other, whether it is superior, paraha is superior, kincha, inferior, anyam, the other. So three things, anyam, the other, which is of the same status, paraha, superior, kincha, inferior, with reference to that reality called Brahman, na asa, was not there. Okay? Tasmat ha anyam equal, paraha, superior, kincha, inferior, na asa, was not there. Okay? So there is no second. Because if there is a second, it could be either superior or inferior or equal. Generally what people do, they are jealous of equals, not the equals, they are jealous of superiors, and they are arrogant towards inferiors, and they fight with the equals, some such thing they say, like that. But there is no such thing, there is no second at all. That was that reality called Brahman. So you can only describe it in negative terms. You cannot describe it in positive terms. That's why I always try to find out. Vedanta is not a learning in the conventional sense of the term. Here you do not learn anything. Suppose you learn how to do some puja. So there, you are a doer. Normally you are a doer, doing many actions. Now you want to do some special doing. Means you want to perform a puja. Therefore you have to learn. There the learning moves from one state to the other state. The prior state is given and you build on that. So you are a doer. Now you will do a puja. You are an enjoyer. Bhokta, and therefore you will enjoy something else. Already you have enjoyed a few things, now you want to enjoy something else. So that is how the human mind moves. So doership is granted, and so we do more things. As the doer, we all accomplish a few things and we want to accomplish a few more things. This is the conventional approach. As enjoyers, we are all enjoyers, go-getters. So we enjoyed a few things and now we want to enjoy a few more things. And so if Vedanta wants to, can give us some new things to do or some new things to enjoy, we want that. You are all wrong in that approach. I am not saying you people are wrong. You take it in the right spirit. The approach itself is wrong. In Vedanta, as a doer, you are going to do some new things? No. In Vedanta, you will try to unlearn that you are a doer. You want to know that you are not a doer. So what all you have learned till now, that you are the doer, doing this, doing that, about to do this, about to do that, that process of learning, you have to unlearn it. So is it learning? I am not the doer. Is it learning? It is not learning. It is unlearning. You already knew that you are a doer. You have learned it from elders. that you are a doer. Now you have to learn freshly that you are not a doer. So that is not a learning, that is unlearning what you have learned. It's a process of unlearning. You have to first get hold of some of these basics, then your learning or shravanam moves forward. Otherwise it won't move forward, it will sit where it is. Let me be a little frank about it, but no harm in that. So the so-called conventional approach doesn't work, and the wisdom is not even traditional. Traditional is what? Historic. You are putting into the flow of time. So the truth is not traditional, the truth is timeless. There is a tradition, I am not negating the tradition, but the truth is timeless. That is the beauty of the tradition. If at all you want to give credit to the tradition talks of a truth which is timeless and therefore which is not a traditional. Yatra vedaha vedo bhavati. Veda says that. Anyway, tama asi tamasa. గూఢమగ్రే ప్రకేతం నిలగుం సర్వమా ఇదం తుచ్ఛేనాభవపిహితం యదాసీత్ తమసస్తన్మహినా జాయతైకం తమ ఆసీత్. అట్ ద టైమ్ ద బ్రహ్మన్, హౌ కెన్ యూ డిస్క్రైబ్ ఇట్? యు సీ, సపోజ్ దెర్ ఇస్ అన్ ఆబ్జెక్ట్ ఇన్ లైట్, then you can somehow describe that object. It is good, bad, it is shining, not shining, it is beautiful, ugly, whatever. All description is either this or that. So you can give a description. Suppose you are made to sit in a dark room, pitch dark, what they call pitch dark, means you cannot see anything. Then can you describe that, the pitch dark? You cannot describe that. You can only say it is a tamaha. And then suppose you are sleeping in that pitch dark room. It is generally people sleep by making all around dark. In the flight they give a black patch, you put it. So first you cover yourself with darkness, and then you go and merge in the inner darkness. So now in sleep there is darkness in you, the inner darkness, you are there, and you are covered up by that inner darkness, which is further covered up by outer darkness. You see, you are awake. In that awaking state there are two types of knowing going on. Waking state means a state in which you continuously know things. Now, how is the knowing going on? I know there is a pot here. So pot is known. At the same time, I know that I am. I know that there is pot. Even first I know that I am. Right? Without knowing that I am, how can I know that there is pot? So first I know that I am, by coming out of sleep I know that I am, and then I know there is a pot. And while going back to sleep, first I stop knowing that there is a pot, and then eventually I stop knowing that I am. Okay? When you wake up, the aham vritti is the first thought, and when you go to sleep, the aham vritti is the last thought. Between these two aham vrittis, the waking aham vritti and the sleeping aham vritti, the entire other world is there in the form of thoughts. There is no world without the movement of the mind. It is indeed the movement of the mind which appears as the world. So this is what we call drishti srishti vada. Anyway, So now you are going to sleep. In sleep, what you do? You first stop knowing the outer. Means the outer is covered by tamas. And then you stop knowing yourself. The inner is also covered by tamas. You are there. San matraha karanopasamharanataha. This is from Dakshinamurti Stotram. First, karanopasamharanataha. The withdrawal of the sense organs. And the mind is also an organ. So withdraw that also. They are all closed now. Nirodha. They are all restrained. They don't function anymore. So the world comes to end. Because there is no world other than the consciousness of the world. So when there is no consciousness of the world itself dissolves. But the self-consciousness could be there. I am consciousness could be there. Let me call it I am consciousness, not self-consciousness. That could be a different connotation. So the I am consciousness is there. That also you withhold. So there is no consciousness anymore. Therefore, I am, without being I am. Just sammatraha. Because I amness is a limitation of the being. The being in a particularity or in a singularity is called I amness. The being is not I am. Being has no limitation. But you put a singularity, can I call it singularity? Probably so. So, or a particularity, the being in a particularity is the I am. In another particularity, being is the world. So now the world particularity is gone. I am particularity is there. Even that is resolved. Pure being. San matraha. You cannot describe it. So we describe it only in the waking state as being. When you are that, you don't call it being. You are not there to call it anything in the first place. When you are that, that's all. When you come out of that, you call it being. Okay? So that is what the reality is. Now you look at it, tamaha asit, tamasa gudham. It was a tamas, covered up by tamas. Outer tamas, inner tamas. Hence, all process of knowing has come to an end. All light of consciousness is put to an end. And therefore, how can you describe it? It is gudham. It is a resolved fully, gudham. This is one verse which is the most difficult to explain. I have bhashyam and all that. Vijayaranya's bhashyam is there, but still even Vijayaranya finds it hard. I can see the difficulty he faces in explaining that word, that verse. And I have some ancient Indologists who tried to make a translation. You listen to this. Darkness was in the beginning. Agre, in the beginning, before creation. That is Omyedamagra Asit, Sadeva Somyedamagra Agreva. Darkness was there in the beginning, hidden by darkness. So tamas, tamasa gudham. So what is called sat is described as darkness hidden by darkness. That's why when the word nothingness is used, You should try to look at it with an open mind. Because what the Shruti described as Sat, Shankara described it as Sanmatraha in Dakshinamurti. Right? Chandogya presents it as Sat, the being. The same thing is indeed presented as nothingness elsewhere. The nothingness with reference to all process of knowingness. In that sense, the word nothingness you have to understand. You should not get jittery that, oh, he is becoming a Shunyavadi. You should not get carried away by that kind of labels. So the Shunyavadi label versus Advaitavadi label, the label has some relevance, but the label, you have to ultimately drop labels also. And the Advaita, the one, the reality, the one without the second, is almost akin to Shunya. You cannot distinguish it from Shunya in any which way. Because if you try to distinguish it from Shunya, you are already defining it and already limiting it. So you cannot distinguish it from Shunya. That's why the Purnam and the Shunyam, they are very much alike. They are very much alike. And therefore, what is described as Purnam, not in Buddhist literature, they call it Shunya. In a very real sense, they call it Shunya. But the same word Shunya, if it appears in Vedic literature or in the Upanishadic literature, you should not get disturbed by that, because it does appear. The reality is indeed described as a Shunya. Ashabdam, Asparsham, Arupam, Arasam, Nityam, Agandhavad. What is it? It is as though it is Shunya. Therefore, I cannot quote it straight away. In Bhagavatam, in one place, it is described as a Shunya. That doesn't make Bhagavata as a Shunyavada. Okay? So, tamasa gudham. It is very much akin to Shunya, but not Shunya. So, I am only suggesting, don't get disturbed by a word as if the word is going to reveal the truth or the word is going to cover the truth. Neither is going to happen. So words are used in a very desperate situation. Words are used. Darkness was in the beginning hidden by darkness. Indistinguishable. How are you going to distinguish this darkness also? Indistinguishable. Okay. That indistinguishable, it came from agre apraketam. That apraketam is indistinguishable. It is there, apraketam is there, akara prasvesha is there. Akara prasvesha is there.
Only just
praket. In a padhantara, akara prasvesha is there. And Vidyaranya Swami, Vijayaranya Swami has written as apraketam. 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 You know the meaning he gave? Prakarshena jnatum ashakyam. Apraketam. Praketa is the beacon. Earlier also the word praketa came, which is the beacon. Beacon means you know it very well. That is what a beacon is. It is apraketam. It is not possible to know it perfectly. And so that is the translation given here. And of course in this version there is akara prasvesha. That is how Vijayaranya Swami also explained it.
This tama asit is not a description of reality then?
That is the reality. Tama asit. It is a tamaha, covered up by tamaha, because it is a apraketam. Whatever is not known is called tamaha. Absolutely not known, therefore it is absolutely tamaha. That is how. You see, from the mind's standpoint, it is a tamaha covered by tamaha, because apraketam. Jnatum ashakyam. Okay? Then Manusmurtikara, Vijayaranya Swami quoted Manusmurtikara. Manu is a great philosopher. Asididam tamobhutam. This was all there at the time before creation. As a tamobhutam, it was all as a tamas. Aprajnatam. Apraketam is correct word. Aprajnatam. That is quoted by Vijayaranya Swami from Manusmurti. Not known at all. And the alakshanam, it has no definition, it has no characteristic, it has no property, no attribute. Alakshanam. Apratakyam, You cannot even imagine it. Avijñeyam. It is not something to be known. You see, sometimes a poet can imagine. Whereas with the eyes and with the ears you know things. So neither you can know it with prachaksha or anumana, etc. Nor you can make an imagination about it. Poet, they have the power of imagination. It is not even possible to imagine it. Then how is it? Prasuptamiva sarvataha. I was waiting for that. It just can be compared, iva only. It is not even prasuptam. Prasuptam is a state, comes and goes. Whereas it is not prasuptam, it is prasuptamiva. Sarvataha, in every possible way, in whichever way you look at it, it can only be compared with the prasuptam, deep sleep. There is no other way to describe it. Very interestingly, I know a meditation. The meditation is you meditate upon deep sleep. That is the meditation. So you always you sit in the correct meditative posture and you imitate deep sleep. How? Just remember deep sleep. Whenever an idea sprouts in the mind, a thought sprouts, a thought just starts its movement, starts to move, there is a small movement in the mind, immediately think of sleep, deep sleep, and be in deep sleep while you are fully awake. This is what is called Jagrat Sushupti, also called Jagrat Samadhi. If you are in that kind of waking deep sleep state, that is where you are utterly alone, totally alone. You see, people don't know how to be alone. Suppose I sit alone, nobody is around me, and I am thinking of my friend and or my foe. I am not alone. I am thinking of my finances, my status in society, etc. You are not alone. I am thinking of my future, career, this and that. I am not alone. I am thinking of my worships, my religious life. I am not alone. I am thinking of my dogmas, my doctrines, my beliefs, my culture, this and that. I am not alone. There is baggage all the time. I am thinking of my guru-sishya relationship. With all due regard to guru-sishya relationship, still you are not alone. You have to abandon your teachers also. Go on, holding on to the teacher is not going to take you anywhere. The teacher shows the path and then you leave the teacher and you have to walk the path. The teacher won't walk the path with you. Nobody else will walk the path. People have a notion that the spouse will walk the path, or the teacher will walk the path, or Guru Bhai will walk the path. Nobody will walk the path. You walk it alone. So you are not alone if you are holding on to some of these things. Caste, creed, race, religion, etc., you are not alone. Suppose you have some desires, you have some desires and aspirations, you are not alone. Suppose you have some fears and apprehensions, you are not alone. And very interestingly, in sleep you are really alone. Prasuptamiva sarvataha. Total withdrawal, sarvataha panchamaya ekavachanam, total withdrawal from everything. And just be. Just be is it is not an action. Though, as if I am commanding you, just be. It sounds like a command. As if what you have to do is an action of being. Because the verb is used. So, agatika gatya. Because there is no other way to communicate the message. That's why a verb is used, a word is used. It is not a verbal action. It is not a verb. It is not a word. It is not a doing. It is just the being. And it is no different from you. What it is not different from you. You are not the person that you imagine yourself to be. All this baggage, it constitutes the persona. It manufactures a persona. You are not that person. That person is a shadow. There is so much confusion in life because you take yourself to be that person. Once you know that you are not the person that you imagine yourself to be, you will stop fretting and worrying. So, it is like you are a person in the dream, but you are not that person. The person that you were in the dream is only a shadow. You are not that shadow. The waking state is no different. That's why instead of identifying with the persona all the time and getting totally preoccupied with the affairs of the persona, which is always in the form of opposites, past, future, fear and this and that, desires and fears, that is all the movement of the persona, that is the movement of the ego. It always moves either in the past or in the future, either as fear or a desire, whatever. That is how the persona moves, the ego moves. And so, instead of realizing that this egoic movement, egoic existence, is altogether a shadow-like existence, it is no reality at all. It is a shame that we live an entire life like that, because it is no reality at all in that. All your aspirations, all your worries, all your fears, etc. are utterly meaningless, because they are no different from the worries and desires, etc., and fears, etc., of the dream person. In the dream there is a person with all fears and desires and all that. What is the value of those desires and fears? They are worthless, because the dream person itself is a shadow, no reality. The waking person is no different. And so you are so preoccupied with this waking person's issues, so that we fail to see it's a myth. It is just a myth. There is no reality to that. Therefore, in this meditation, it is called a sleep meditation. You just sit and imitate sleep. You may try it for a while. Just sit straight. Keep the hands in the lap. Learn to sit straight. That is the natural sitting posture. Sitting with a bent back is not natural. It is unnatural. No surprise, we have all kinds of pains and issues of joints and all that. Sit straight. Let the body, the bones structure, the structure of the bones, the skeletal structure, be fixed to the earth. Be fixed to the center of the earth. Whereas you soar to the heights of the heaven. Keep the shoulders fully relaxed. Keep a smile on the lips. And soar up to the heaven. As you sit in this meditative posture, you are the link between earth and heaven. This is called Urdhva Drishti. are not a person of the earth anymore. You are the link between the earth and heaven. Drop the entire known. Drop all that is known to you in the world. Drop all that is unknown to you in the world. Drop the entire past. Don't ask how, just do it. How means the mind is trying to make a process out of it. Don't be tricked by the mind. Just to drop the entire past. Drop the future. It is all myth, there is no future. Don't even get carried away by the idea of the present and all that. Just to drop the idea of present also. In a way it can be described as present, but drop that description also. Drop all desires. You don't need any desire whatsoever. Drop all fears and worries. Drop all notions about yourself. I am this, I am that. All of that you drop. All self-images, all ideas of self-consciousness, just drop all of it. Don't look at yourself in any definition or designation. Drop your dogmas and doctrines. Drop your theories of God and all that. Just be. Remember sleep whenever needed. Sit relaxed. And slowly open the eyes. That is a hint of one's own reality. And the Shruti, the Upanishads, the Gita, etc., they say many words. But whenever the talk of reality is there, it is always presented on similar in similar lines. And the rest of the words are all an effort to prepare the person for this. It is like preparing the person for nothingness, because all that is known has to be dropped, because all of it is unreal. All of it is the creation of the mind. That's why when the mind is not moving, you don't have any of it. Whether it is meditation, or whether it is sleep, or whether it is coma, or unconsciousness, murcha, you don't have any of this dvaita. It is there only when there is the movement of the mind. And therefore, so you first realize the limitation of the speech and mind, and know that its frontiers are well defined, and so go beyond the frontiers of the mind and speech. And you are not going anywhere. You are just being what you are. This is called Sahaja Yoga. That is your natural state. When you go beyond the speech and mind, you are not going anywhere. You are just trying to be your true nature. So you have to familiarize yourself with that by meditation. Okay. Then, having said that, first sentence is Tama Asit Tamasa Godhamagre Praketam. Then suddenly the Sutta now takes a tangential tack. Salilagum Sarvama Idam. All of this was water. Salilam is water. I will complete that translation. That which coming into being, darkness was in the beginning hidden by darkness, indistinguishable. This all was water. Salilama sarvagum idam. All means all, asamanta, everywhere. Idam, all this was water. Okay. Then tuchena abhum apihitam yadasi. Tuchha is a shunya. You must have heard the word tuchha. Shunya. You see, I told you. I did not expect it here itself, but then it became here itself. The translation is that which coming into being, you know, abhu. Abhu. Who is being? Abhu. A means ana. Coming into being, I will see the Vidyaranya also, was covered with the void. That is the tuchena, apihitam. Apihitam is pihitam. This is called bhaguri sa allopa. Bhaguri allopaha. Avadhana is vadhana. Apihita is pihita. Like hiranmayena patrena satyasya apihitam mukham. Satyasya mukham covered. The face of the truth is covered by the golden disc. That is what it is. The vakyam is that, okay? Don't contest that. The vakyam is the face of the truth is covered by the golden disc. Hiranmayena patrena. What does it mean? You have to look into it. But that is what it says. So, apihitam is covered. Here, tuchena, abhu. Abhu, coming into being, covered by shunya. Apihitam. Tuchena abhu apihitam. Yet asir, what was there? Tamasaha tan mahina jayata ekam. That was one without the second. It arose. Ajayata. It mahina ajayata. It came into being. It arose through the power, tan mahina, by its own power. from that darkness. Tamasaha Panchamaya Kavachana. How to explain that? That's why nobody goes to Nasadiya Sukta. But I find it very amazing. So what happens is, you see, you have the world. The world is no different from the knowledge of the world. You see, this we call Vishamam Ghattam. In Vedanta, this is the major dilemma for the students to understand. Namely, can there be a part without the knowledge of the part? Cannot be. Because wherever the jnaya, part is a jnaya, it has to shine in the consciousness of some conscious being. Suppose that is something which never shines in the consciousness of anybody, then what kind of existence it is? There is no such thing. That is one argument. Another argument is, jnayam always comes together with jnana. You cannot have a situation where without jnana, an object, known object is there. Jnana and jnaya, they happen always together, right? Ghata is the jnaya. It is there only when ghata jnanam is there. Without ghata jnana, the existence of ghata is not there. Therefore, the world is only in the knowledge of the world, or as knowledge of the world. Without knowledge of the world, there is no world. Therefore, knowledge is the consciousness. Knowledge means consciousness is. So the raw material of particular knowledge is called consciousness. The consciousness is. And this consciousness itself is a movement. Consciousness is a movement. Only when you are awake from sleep, you are conscious. There is a movement. And a movement in what? Consciousness is a movement means there must be something which is motionless. In the motionless, movement arises. Ajayata. And what is that motionless? The being. Therefore, knowing is a movement in the being. So, being is the truth. Being is the reality. And when the knowing resolves, the being resembles tamas. Because knowing itself is a movement, and that movement called knowing, in a certain language it is called chidavesha. Chit avesha. Chit is knowing. It is an avesha. So the being is possessed by knowing. Then it becomes a satchit. And the satchit appears as the world. Atma va idagum sarva. Atma is all of this. Therefore, the being is the reality that resembles the darkness, and that resembles the shunya, because all that is known is already absent in it. And from that being, there is a movement. And what is the factor that caused that movement? What is it that made such a movement possible? There is no other factor. That movement comes out of its own glory, tanmahina. The being has its own glory from which the movement in the form of knowing comes. The knowing alone appears as the becoming. That is the vivarta. Here there is no transformation. What is there to transform? To undergo transformation. So all that is there, captured in that statement, tamasaha tat mahina ajayata ekam. Only water is there. What is this water? Kalilam. You see, itself. Water in certain context is used not jalam, they don't use the word jalam, but the word salilam is used. Salilamasit, only salilam was there. All of this was salilam, water. That water and also apaha, apova, idam sarvam, it is used to mean power, shakti. That shakti, power was there. That is how it is used. You take it like that. This verse is particularly eulogized by great Mahatmas and great Indologists. And this particular Tama Asit Tamasa Gudhamagre, then darkness is covered by darkness, that kind of a description is a mind-boggling description. Even Kalidasa made a description like Suchi Bhedyai Tamohihi. The darkness is so thick that you can pierce it with a needle. That is how Kalidasa described the darkness. And then Milton described it. It is not light. It is the darkness which has taken a physical shape. That is how Milton described it. Then come to Upanishads. It is the darkness covered by darkness. So and salilam, salilam, yeah, very well said it. Apraketam, it is apraketam, not praketam. You cannot distinguish it, you cannot recognize it, you cannot define it, you cannot know it at all. And then salilam, that alone covered everything. You see, it is like deluge. Salilam is deluge. Now I got it. It is deluge. What is deluge? In a deluge, you have only water, nothing else. Everything else is made flat. It is a deluge. The land which is a bit high and the dip, you cannot distinguish anything. All opposites are totally covered by the deluge of darkness. So Shatru, Mitra, friend, foe, mine, not mine, Swa, Para, all these opposites, one is up, the other is down. Dharma, Adharma, Sukha, Dukha, all of that was just covered as if it was a deluge. That is the mantra. Okay? That covers now. Now, from that state comes, arises, what? Desire. Imagine. Kamastadagre samavattatadhi. So, that I will explain, but let us finish that mantra satisfactorily. Now everything is covered, yeah. Now you say the next mantra. Tuchena abhu, a babhuva, alone becomes abhu, a samantat babhu, it is there everywhere, covered by the shunyam, tuchha. Because tamas covered by tamas is tuchha, it is nothingness, as though nothingness. Okay? I told you it is described as a shunya. This is that shunya, tuchha. I have explained it adequately, I think. Next mantra. Kamastadagre samavattatadhi.
Kamastadagre samavattatadhi.
Manaso retah prathaman yadasit.
Manaso retah prathaman yadasit.
Sato bandhu masate niravindan.
Sato bandhu masate niravindan.
Nadi pratishya kavayo manisha.
Nadi pratishya kavayo manisha.
That is the verse. Now, from that being, which is just resembles the sleep, prasuptameva sarvataha, because it defies every possible definition, designation, description, etc., And therefore, it is as though it is everywhere, abhu, asamantat bhuva, or asti, but still it is covered by shunyam. Tuchena apihitam. What is the shunyam? Tamas covered by tamas. So that abhu, so that reality, now it tries to find a fulfillment in becoming. In an apparitional becoming, it tries to fulfill, to find a fulfillment. For example, in sleep, you are like that, tuchena abhu apishitam, sanmatraha. Now you start waking up. There is a stir. And that shunya-like, not shunya, but shunya-like being, it is now tanmahina ajayata ekam. So one without the second, there is no second. It has its own potential, its own power, its own glory, because of which it started a movement. And the first stirring of that Atma, that Brahman, the first stirring is in the form of a desire. What kind of desire is? The desire to be. The desire to be. No other desire. It is the being. It need not have any desire to be. But then there is a stirring in the form of the desire to be and the desire to live. These are the most primordial desires. I don't even call it desires. The desire to be, the same as the desire to live, the primordial desire. You see, life desires to live. The being desires to be. That is the stirring. Already avidya, ajnanam, maya shakti has come into it. That the life desires to live. You are the life. What do you want to live? You are the life. Why do you want to live? What kind of paradox it is? The life desires to live. The being desires to be. That is the ajnana. And that ajnana alone has manifested as the desire. And the desire to live, the desire to be, will express further and further as multiple desires. So, that desire is the foundation of creation. We have a samsara, and that samsara is the direct outcome of that desiring in us. The desiring alone expresses as the samsara. And Ishvara's desiring, the Parabrahma's desiring, appears as the macrocosm. It is that's why in all Upanishads, so kamayata bahusyam prajaye yeti akamayata syam. So be, let me be as many. So this is how the desire was at the basis of all creation. And the mind is the movement. The very first offspring, retaha, which is the very first sprout of the mind, of the movement called mind, is desire. Anaso retah prathamam yadasi it, which desire is the very first sprout of the mind, the movement called mind. This desire, this movement, binds the reality in the unreal world. Sataha asati bandhum. Sataha, of the reality, asati in the unreal, bandhum is bandhanam. You see, sambandha is what? Bandha. Sambandha eva bandha. You see, two families are there. One family has a son of a marriageable age. Another family has a girl of a similar age. Now they say, we establish a sambandha between the two. Mm-hmm. That sambandha, the moment that idea came of coming together in a bondage, in a sambandha, that is the bondage for the two families, for the life. Now they are stuck badly. The father this side and the father that side, the mother this side and the mother that side, the young man this side and the young lady that side, the young man's brothers and sisters on this side with the young lady's brothers and sisters on that side. They are all now established into a relationship. So brother-in-law, son-in-law, daughter-in-law, this-in-law, that-in-law, so like that, and then elders have relationships with some names. Each language has a name for every possible relationship. So it is like one web getting connected to another web by multiple ropes, and they are all stuck with it for the whole of their life. They are now stuck. I cannot describe it. The worldly people are like that. Now they are stuck. They want to go near, at the same time they feel very repelled. They want to establish a relationship, but at the same time they cannot love. So it is a very pathetic situation. Even before the marriage is over, they start fighting. Marriage is yet to happen. They start fighting. And this young girl and this young man, they cannot come together with a free mind, because already their minds are filled with these fights. And they overcome all this negativity for a while and come together, and then again become victims of that negativity. They start fighting with each other. So it is all a bondage. And people are very badly caught in it, in that web. So sataha asati bandhum. It is not sambandha. Strictly speaking, it is bandhaha. They are not bandhus. Bandhu is a relative. They are not bandhus. They are not related. They are bounded people. They are people in bondage. Sato bandhum asati. That is the truth. Niravindan. This truth is realized by a few, not by themselves. They are too busy in their quarrels, in their petty mindedness. They cannot realize the bondage. If they know it is bondage, then they will try to come out of it. Only a few people, kavayaha, the jnaninaha, they realize. We will complete it in tomorrow, in another class. ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ will have some quick dinner, simple dinner. Before that you may take a fruit, and the next class you will come to know. We will put a break to this series. We will resume these classes from 15 onwards.